Wednesday, May 31st, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and we do it a little bit different than most sports shows. We don't really do the hot takes for the sake of being like clickbait. We don't really do the nonsense hot takes that don't make any sense. We try to bring some common sense opinions when it comes to sports. We might take a look back at some sports history every now and then, and we try, hopefully, maybe we can make you laugh once or twice a week. There are a couple of ways that you can keep up with or contact the Daily Dose. You can go check out new articles and a link to the podcast every single week. Head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. New articles go up every single week, and we do include a link to the podcast. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, maybe you need some advice about something, we have a lot of advice that we're happy to dole out here. You can hit us up on any subject. Hit us on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also find us lurking over on Twitter or Facebook. If you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, you will get updates and links to articles and to the podcast. Today on the Daily Dose, I'm telling you right now, I told you last week, we were going to do something a little bit different than we have ever done on the Daily Dose before. Joining us today on the show, longtime friend of the show, Larry from Centennial joins us. Larry, thank you for being here.
Hey, Clint. What a pleasure. We're back in a familiar locale, and I know you're going to kind of go through some of the format of the show today, but thanks for having me on.
Always glad to have you on the show. We are coming to you from Winter Park today. Winter Park, Colorado, if you haven't been up here, honest to God, it's just gorgeous. It is so beautiful up here. We've got clear skies. We've got green fields, we've got green trees, but we've got snow on the peaks. Just perfect weather. You couldn't ask for anything more right now around Memorial Day.
And how about yesterday? What did we see?
Snow, saw it all.
Sleet, wind, sun.
Yes.
You name it. Fog this morning, if you got up early enough to see it out on the meadow. But just what a gorgeous time of year in Colorado.
The great thing about Colorado is I know that there's some people that say they get all the seasons. We get all four seasons, but we get them in one day. You don't have to wait for certain times of the year. You can find them all just in one single day and experience it all at one time.
Well, that's so true. And we did yesterday, but today was awesome. Went for a hike, did some other stuff out in the outdoors, and just a beautiful day to do it. So
it was perfect. Now, Larry, we talked last week, and we discussed what we should do for the podcast this week, because we said, hey, we're going to Winter Park. Families are coming up here. We're going to hang out. We need to do something for the podcast.
Right.
And you had the idea. Hey, let's just sit down and start talking. Let's just kind of do it on the fly, and we'll throw out some ideas, and we'll kind of have a conversation and just see where it goes.
The Jerry Seinfeld, you know, it's a show about nothing.
It's a show about nothing today.
So I thought that might be a good idea. You took me up on it, and yeah, here we are.
Here we are, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to basically just do a show about nothing, and that doesn't mean you should shut off the podcast. That means you should keep listening to it, but we're going to do the show about nothing, and we're just kind of see where it ends up. And I told you, I don't know where it's going to end up. Well, I don't have any idea.
And I have a question for you, because this is out of, you know, it's out of the norm, right? You have your podcasts are awesome, and I love listening to them, and I can't give enough credit. They're, you know, they're to the point. You have great subjects you talk about. It's obvious you put, like, tons of research and prep into the podcast. So this isn't going to be one of those times.
No,
right?
No, it's not. In fact, you know, I told you, I'm a little bit nervous. Yeah. I'm a little bit kind of...
That's okay.
Hey, you know, we put some things together. We put some angles together and come up with some things. Kind of going to just, you know, freewheel this today and see where it ends up.
Well, let's do that.
I'm good with it. I hope everybody is ready for that. We're kind of turning, honestly, I'm kind of turning the controls of this show over to Larry.
Oh,
he's kind of got the, he's kind of got the steering wheel at this point.
I don't know about that.
We can go down any path today. There is nothing off limits at this point.
Hey, and hopefully your listeners will appreciate that. I mean, I know you have, you know, a lot of loyal listeners, but there's a lot out there, and there's a lot that even in your podcast you can't get to, and I know you want to talk about, and,
right,
you know, maybe some of those things will come
up. Here's the best thing, and I've said this before on the podcast, here's the best thing about doing this podcast, and I mean this sincerely, I've said this in the past, I have, and I know we don't do things like a lot of sports shows do, we don't. It's a little bit different. A lot of times it's just me. A lot of times it's just bringing up some common sense takes. We don't really go for hot takes that might be kind of out there just to see if we can get you to believe them. Like, I could come up with a take that no one, like, it would just be contrary to say it, but I don't even believe it. I'm not doing that crap. I think that's nonsense. Yeah. We don't really do that sort of thing. And so as a result, I do have really, really smart listeners. Like, the listeners that do tune into the Daily Dose, they're a little bit smarter than the average sports fan.
I would agree.
And they get it. I hear from them. I get emails, I get things on Twitter, whatever it might be. And they're a little bit like, they get it. They're in on the joke. They understand
right.
what we're doing here,
right.
which kind of makes it cool. So, yeah, you're right. I think our listeners would be on board. I think they'll be cool with this.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Well, like I said, you're driving the car.
Hey, well, speaking of cars, let's talk about the Indy 500.
Woo!
It happened today.
The Indy 500 was pretty good.
So this is timely, right?
It is, because we just saw it.
And I'll tell, and think a lot of listeners know this about Clip, but, you know, a lot of driving history in the family.
Yes.
And
I know you
watch the Indy 500 religiously.
Yeah.
So I know you were tuned into it. I got a little bit of it. I was happy to see the driver who won after, you know, kind of a redemption a couple of years ago.
Right.
So that was good. Couple major wrecks. But it's kind of Memorial Day, right?
Yeah.
We watch the Indy 500.
You do. You watch some auto racing. It's beginning of summer and that whole thing.
Yeah. In this age of sports, I don't have a lot of friends who watch the Indy 500.
No.
I don't have a lot of friends who sit down for, you know, 3 hours.
To watch racing in general.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of one of those sports, like, I don't know, maybe boxing, that kind of, you know, has left the general populace in terms of watchability.
It has.
Because people don't sit down for 3 hours to watch a car race anymore, I don't think, unless, you know, you're really,
unless
really
you're
into
just
it.
Into it, yeah.
But this used to be like, sit down, watch it, we're into it,
yeah,
let's do it. For those of you who don't watch it, I think one of these days, try it, because it is a spectacle, and I think there's, you know, these drivers are really, really good.
Yeah, they are.
And the things they have to navigate, right. You know, I'm impressed. You know, we can go into those arguments about they're actually athletes or not, you know, is a driver.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. They're the best at what they do for an extended period of time, and
right.
they're just awesome. So I love the race.
Well, and it's interesting, because when you're looking at the stock cars, and I know NASCAR right now has gotten so much more popular, and I understand that. I get it. There's drivers we know. On some level, they're cars we know. Like,
right.
If you look out there and you say, hey, that's a Chevy, it sort of looks like the Chevy I drive. If you look at Indy, you're like, my car doesn't look like a rocket ship.
It might say
Honda on it, but that's not what it is.
After turn three, it looks like the car I drive.
Right, exactly. And so there's a little bit more of that. I guess we kind of identify a little bit more with the NASCAR. But those Indy cars with those open wheels.
Oh, man.
And the danger that is there, just driving wheel to wheel. And the fact that you could climb that wheel and end up out of the entire race park is always kind of there. We saw that with Scott Dixon on Sunday.
Boy.
Getting upside down and hitting into that.
Lucky son of a gun, right?
Oh, jeez, that was scary to watch.
And to watch it, and then perfect angle of it, and in slow-mo, watch how, what the safety features do for a driver like that.
Yeah.
He rode out the wreck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And really happy to see him get up and walk out of that, and he'll race another day. I know it doesn't always happen that way, but that was huge, and wrecks like that, you know, are going to happen. It keeps people interested in the sport.
Yeah.
But that safety feature or the open wheel type racing is...
It's a little bit scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
There's some definite danger there, and they've figured out that if we can take the car and have it absorb that blow, then the driver doesn't absorb the blow, because the driver absorbing the blow, you're not walking away from it.
Well, because I think everybody wants to see, I mean, it's part of racing, crashes, right?
Yeah.
It's like watching boxing. Like, you want to
see
somebody
knockout.
Get knocked out,
sure.
right? So
sure
it's going to happen. That's kind of the intent, but let's keep the driver safety, and it certainly looks like they're doing that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Yeah. So
no, it's getting
anyway, it didn't get rained out, right?
No,
so that's
and it was getting
the,
a little bit
extra
close,
for.
But yeah, that helps.
Yeah, so everybody can go
it
fishing now if
entertaining.
They want to.
It really was an entertaining race, and I know, you know, like I said, it's not the most popular thing, but it was a highly entertaining race. There's 4 or 5 guys on the lead lap. They're all battling for position right at the end.
Yeah.
It's really, really close. Here's my only issue with Indy, and I've said this before. Well, I've got a ton of issues with Indy, but that's a separate point. The biggest issue that I have, there's not many names that you know. There's not it used to be the Foyts, the Unsers, the Andretti's. There's still Marco Andretti. He's still there. But other than that, Helio Castroneves.
Yep.
We know Castroneves.
Yep. Dixon.
Scott Dixon. Tony Kanaan. We're reaching. These are not household names.
I know Hinchcliffe because my wife is part of the
Aero
company.
Sure.
But again, there's not a lot of press. There's not a lot of people watching those races like there used to be. So, you know, a name that might have been more popular 15 years ago isn't today. But I enjoy it. I didn't watch as much of it as you do. You watch the thing from
I'm an idiot. But like you said, so my dad was a race car driver. He raced and raced sprint cars and raced midget cars. My uncle did it. My cousin did it. So I was around it. Here's a thing that many listeners may not know. When I was a kid growing up, we had to go to church every week. Like, don't miss. Like, you went Sunday morning, you went Sunday night, you went Wednesday night, you went Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't miss. The only time we might, get out of going to church was Indy Sunday. Because Dad, for some reason, it was okay to miss that week. I couldn't miss for my Bronco game, but on Indy 500 day, we might get it. Now, that used to be they would tape delay. Remember, they didn't show it live. They would show it later at night.
Exactly.
I didn't get to miss Sunday morning, but I might get to miss Sunday night.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that's why I still love that race. It got me out of church for a week.
If you can miss it, you miss it. Yeah. Dad, thank you. At least you got the one day.
At least I got one day out of it.
I first started watching more of the Indy races and when I worked in the television broadcast industry.
Okay.
So I would be airing a lot of those races.
Okay.
And some of them were taped delay, but as we got more into the 20th century, they did go live. And I got to appreciate everything because until you watch a race, like focus on a race like that end to end, they really
see
do
what
a
they
fantastic
truly do.
Broadcast job.
Yeah.
And even nowadays, more so than, pit crews, all the graphics and all the information that feed back from the cars. It really is.
These cameramen are amazing.
Yeah.
They really are.
Well, that one view of the Dixon rack,
it's
almost like there's a have to be like 200 cameramen out there. Just
they're everywhere.
Solely focused on every single car of the whole race. So kudos to all those guys. It's a top-notch deal.
It is. No, they do a good job.
Well, secondly.
Okay.
So if we can switch gears.
We can.
Now we go on a Memorial Day to the French Open.
Wow. You're going French Open on
right. That. I mean, kind of beginning the French
the
Open.
Summer tennis tour.
Yeah.
Getting going in the whole scene here.
Right.
Yeah.
What's not more exciting than the French Open?
Let's try to think of things that are more exciting than the French Open. I'll bet we can think of things. I'm going to nominate paint drying. What do you have?
Okay. Well, the U.S. Open.
Okay. I like that idea.
No,
how about baseball?
That's good. That's
See?
Good. Yeah. Now, I am a tennis fan, though, and I kind of...
Soccer made in Germany.
Right. Remember that? Toby Charles.
Yes.
Oh, it's into the goal like a rocket. Now, do you ever watch the Men in Coats?
No.
Men in Blazers. Men in Blazers.
Oh, no, I've heard of it, but I don't know that I've ever watched
it. Fantastic show.
Is it really?
Tune in. Yeah. You're really missing something there.
I bet I'm not.
Now, watch it once. Okay. And that's
no,
all,
I've
that's
heard it's entertaining,
it.
Though.
Yeah, not bad. But the French Open...
We had some upsets, I heard.
One.
I heard we had some upsets. I don't have
I heard
idea.
There was one match played and one upset. Yeah, so anyway, it's going to take a couple weeks. I think it is a cool sport.
Sure it is. As a player, like I can appreciate it. To see it in person, I think, would be very, very different than seeing it on TV.
I think so, too.
I think it would be cool to
and
see
And I think if you were going to go to one tournament, I hear a lot of people want to go to the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Wimbledon, okay, not really.
Seems a little more proper for me.
Yeah.
I don't
Australian,
know if I can do that.
It's a long flight. But
That is a long flight.
I think the French would be pretty cool to go to.
That's on clay.
Yeah.
I still can't get my head around that whole clay thing.
Yeah.
That's
I don't
really
know how the
weird
ball
to me.
Bounces.
I know.
Yeah. I bounce a tennis ball in my backyard and
just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
No, I don't understand it.
So.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just starting.
It's still going.
It's
is what you're saying. When does it end? Monday?
No, I think it just started. So honestly,
it just started.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple of weeks. I'll let you know.
Jeez, that's a long time.
I'll text you.
Make sure to hit me up on that.
Text you what's
and let me know.
Later.
You're bringing some interesting subjects today.
I just wanted to hit the high notes first off the top of the show.
So far, we've got auto racing and French Open. We've got people just turning this thing off.
They would never turn this off.
Yes, they would.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
I'm ready.
Because we talk about it all the time. And now that we've gotten the priorities out of the way.
Right. We've gotten the main things out of the way.
The Bronco OTAs.
Yes, we OTAs are rolling along.
Yeah, so let's get serious.
Okay,
for a second.
Breaking things down. We're going to get into Denver Broncos OTAs. Right. Now we're getting to the serious stuff.
What do you learn from an OTA?
Here's the thing I'm going to tell you about the OTAs.
Okay.
And the OTAs, what does OTA stand for again?
Organized
team activity,
team activities,
I believe. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Here's what you learn from organized
voluntary.
They are voluntary, and if you miss, you're going to be in trouble because they're voluntary. Here's the thing that you learn. You learn who gets what number because they do assign jersey numbers. So the rookies come in, or maybe you have a free agent signing, and you see who's going to be wearing what number.
And see if your helmet fits.
Yes.
That kind of thing. what kind of egg-shaped head they have?
Yes, okay. You do see some head-shaped things that you learn. And then outside of that, you don't learn anything.
Yeah.
Because they're not even wearing pads.
Right.
It's something we gotta, like, we have to cover. We have to, I know I have to write about. There's some of the, but we don't learn anything. It's just stuff for us to do.
We don't learn anything. It's a mechanism. And hey, I'll be the first one to say, you know, you always kind of look forward to some of these things.
Well, sure.
But as media coverage is more instantaneous and more blanketed,
yeah,
it's not as exciting as it used to be, right? Everybody always couldn't wait for training camp.
Right. Yeah, but that was August.
But that was training camp.
July, August, you started getting excited.
Right. And there was really a lead up to it. Now, you know, we're excited about the draft. We're excited about free agency. We're excited about OTAs. And it may mean something, I guess.
Maybe.
But for us, not so much.
Well, here's the thing that I've discovered about OTAs, and you tell me if I'm wrong. It seems to me that everyone looks terrific in OTAs. Like, I'm having to write some articles. I'm having to do some things. I hear about a kid coming out, maybe he's a rookie, maybe he's never played, maybe he's an undrafted rookie youth, and you hear the, hey, this kid looks really good. Like, he's really, he had a big cutback run the other day, took it to the end zone. Oh, do you mean he took it to the end zone when they couldn't tackle him? Yeah, I'll bet he did. That's really good. He went clear to the end zone when the defense couldn't touch him. That's nice.
In the shortened practice field.
I've never,
20 yards long
right,
to begin with.
It's rare. I won't say never, because we have heard some. It's rare that you hear, hey, you know what? I don't know what it is, but Tom Brady looks horrible in OTAs this year.
Never heard
like
of that.
Like, he's just,
have you ever heard that?
He's got kind of a limp in his step. And,
well, and, you know, most of these guys are signed, but nobody wants to get injured, and we've seen a lot of injuries.
Yes, there have been big injuries in OTAs,
training and outside of training. So no, I mean, these guys are, you know, they're investments, and
yes, they are.
And you don't want to. It's more book, I would guess.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of information coming out.
No,
and that's probably good because there's enough things to kind of concentrate on. Although, so it gives us a chance to kind of talk about the draft picks. And I had said this to you the other day. I said, I'm the Bulls guy's kind of growing on me.
Sure.
I was okay with the pick to begin with, but even more so after thinking about it, and I'm probably talking myself into it, given the state of the offensive line, I think he'll be okay. I think he's probably what's needed. I think if we went out and got a free agent, they would be older, just like he is. Now,
well, just
he's coming out of college,
yeah.
But he is older. And I think I don't really care, you know, what happens 6 years down the road.
Right.
If that ends up being the end of his career because he's old,
right?
Then, okay, then we've had some time to plan.
Yeah.
But I think we need some offensive help, and I think he's going to help us out. So in general, I was kind of, you know, the more I read, I guess, about the draft picks and things like that, I like the positions that were picked.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the guys that were picked in those positions. Not all of them are going to work out. But, you know, as it stands, I'm okay.
Yeah, you know, Garrett Bowles was the most athletic offensive tackle that was in the draft. And I know there may have been guys that were rated a little bit higher, maybe guys that were rated a little bit lower. He was the most athletic guy in that draft. They liked the way he could move his feet. They liked the way he can slide in front of a pass rusher. And like you talked about, he is a little bit of an older guy, but he also does have a little bit of maturity. My only concern about Garrett Bowles, and it's not a huge concern, my only concern was that he's only played one season of really top-notch, high-level football. That doesn't mean he can't play. It just means we haven't seen it over this long, proven amount of time.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily scare me off.
And with the pros.
Yeah.
Right. So coming out of, he is a college guy.
Right. But we saw last year with the free agency signings that they had, when they went and got Stevenson, they went and got Okun. Hey, those didn't work any better.
They didn't work at all.
No, they're horrible.
And maybe we'll see a full-scale change. Obviously, Mike McCoy is going to make... It's going to be a lot different.
Very
different. It's going to be a lot different than what we saw last year. So, always excited. You know, we got, 2 months now before things start
is
to happen?
All?
A month and a half, right?
just 2 months for us to talk about baseball? That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Seems like a lot longer is what I'm saying.
Speaking of baseball.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know, I was
going
to bring it up.
I know where you're going.
You know,
I know where you're going.
And I'm not, you and I are generally aligned on this issue.
I know.
At some point, you're going to have to pencil in some Rockies talk.
I know.
Okay,
the Rockies,
there it is.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I keep waiting for, and it's the same thing in Colorado. We've dealt with this since, 93 when we got this team. Hey, this might be the year they're really going to do it. Well, they've done it exactly 1 year, and that was literally lightning in a bottle. It's never happened before or since. It was one time.
And we weren't saying it that year.
No. And every single season, that's what we've heard. I heard this whole last year.
It's going to happen again.
This is going to be their year. Look at that bullpen. It's really coming through. Yeah, in April, it sure is. But I just know come August, it's not going to. Hey, no, they're pretty good this year.
They seem to be pretty good.
And the bullpen has enough. Here's my biggest concern, and it always has been, with Colorado baseball. The pitchers that pitch here say that recovery time after pitching at the altitude in Denver is an extra day or two.
Right.
It wears you out to throw at this level and to get your ball to break.
Yeah.
You have to have a super deep bullpen,
right,
or else you better just have a ton of bats.
Right.
Honestly, maybe both, which is kind of what they might have this year. They might have both.
But yes, you're absolutely right. And maybe the problem I have is giving anyone within the Rockies organization credit for...
There you go. Now we're getting on to my into my wheelhouse.
This is how we figured it was going to happen,
right?
So we've been through how many years of this is how we're building it and everything's going to come into place. And if it does this year,
right,
then people like me and you get to hear.
Oh, I know.
Oh, this is exactly how we decided or how we figured it would.
Yes.
It's not.
No,
right?
It's not.
Because I thought that was last year.
And
I thought that was
the
year before.
And
the
year before
that.
Before.
So we'll hear it regardless. Hey, look, you know this for me. I'm a bandwagon guy. If they're doing great, I'm going to be on it.
Well, here's the thing the Mumfords,
So that's good.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give anyone credit for...
No, they get no credit. Because
doing okay.
Right.
Or, you know, let's see how it turns out. If they're great, that would be super.
Sure.
But
more excitement about them gives us something to do until Broncos season.
You know, maybe put 2 years in a row and then, you know, maybe three above average.
Here's the problem is that the Mumfords keep shooting these arrows. And the fact that you run over and you, like, paint a bullseye around wherever it landed doesn't necessarily mean you hit the target. We're not really sure that they've hit anything.
Right.
It seems like the blind squirrel may have found a temporary nut. Let's see if the nut actually ends up having anything to eat in it.
Which is exactly where we were last year.
Correct.
At the same time and the year before
Right.
So this year it's a little, it looks a little different. They're in first place. Their pitching looks pretty good. They're not doing it,
and they're finding ways to manufacture scoring.
Right. Yeah. They're not doing it with the big bat as much as they are pitching and manufacturing the scoring, like you said. So
my concern for the Rockies is that there are some seriously talented teams out there. We know teams like the Cardinals. We know teams like the Cubs. I don't know about the Giants, but the Dodgers. They're talented too. They're not hitting their stride just yet, and you feel like that is coming, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they're the more established.
They know how to win.
Right.
Yeah.
They do know how to win, and the Rockies don't. And let's just leave it at that.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
No, you're right.
The Rockies remind me of an Expos team a few years back, a lot of years back. Young, hungry, and just wanting to play baseball. That's what the Rockies teams remind me of right now. The Rockies team reminds me of right now.
Yeah.
Because it is pretty young.
Sure.
They don't have a lot of older players. So maybe they don't have a lot of memories to try and break. And then it's keeping the team together, right? Because as we know, when a player's been tradable, the Rockies have traded them.
Right. No, they've dealt them quick, and they've dealt anybody that looks like they are going to demand any sort of money. You're going to be out of here as fast as we can get you out of here, because we're not paying you nothing.
That's
we're just going to collect all that gate. Yeah, the Rockies are going to be interesting to see if they can win when they have to win. There's no pressure right now.
Right.
There's no ramifications for dropping a game here or there right now. There's going to be, come August and September, it's going to change. Then we see what they're really going to be made of. But hey, I guess we enjoy the ride for now. I've always said, I don't pay attention too much to baseball until the 4th of July. The 4th of July is kind of that cutoff point where you look at it and you say, okay, where are we at? What are they really about? And we start to figure some things out.
Right.
As we get to that point and we get a little bit beyond, we'll start to see who this team really is. They're pretty good. I just don't know how good.
Right. And hey, they're in first place, but a lot of teams have been in first place at this time of the year that have dropped off. And the Rockies, we know what they're capable of.
Sure. Yes, we do. They can go in the toilet really, really fast.
That's right.
Super fast.
So good. We'll enjoy it for now.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a lot of things we're still going to be talking. We've got to talk probably some more NFL. We might have to talk some NBA. You know, we have our Daily Dose Top 5. We've got a number of things to be talking. I would imagine, I'm just expecting Larry might be bringing some NHL and maybe some Denver lacrosse things up, but we'll see where that all goes.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian. Join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Table Reads, now part of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, this is Trevor, and I'm here with Sean.
Hi.
And we're from Table Reads. Do you know what Table Reads is?
No.
Exactly.
I don't know what it is.
Even Sean doesn't know what it is, and he created it. Well, Sean, if you had to guess, which clearly you do, what do you think Table Reads is?
I would think it's a show about a fat guy and a skinny guy reading some bad scripts that never got to be made into movies.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
You know, the thing I love about you, Sean, ever since we were kids, is you're always good at guessing. You nailed it.
Yay!
Yay!
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, or visit tablereadspodcast.com.
What are you doing listening to Rogue Intel? That podcast is for Slytherin.
What you got next? What's next on the agenda?
All right, Clint. Hey, listen. So you mentioned a little DU.
Yes.
A couple things to just recap.
Okay. We're going to talk lacrosse right now.
Well, hockey. Just want to remind
everybody. Oh, we're going to go hockey?
Well, I just want to remind everybody.
They are the national champions. The Denver Pioneers are the national champions in collegiate hockey.
That's correct.
And you know, there's not that many people that know that, so we need to say that on the Daily Dose podcast to let everyone know who won it.
And now automatically, twice as many people will know it.
Right. Now we've upped that.
There you go.
We've upped that number.
Now, hey, listen, I'm a proud graduate of DU.
Yes, you are.
I support, you know, the school and the teams.
You do.
The hockey team has been, you know, a long-standing tradition. Our lacrosse team is starting to build that tradition as well.
No, now, they're a national power.
Now, there's you and
no
I watched
question.
It. We lost yesterday. We lost to a very good Maryland team.
Yep. Maryland. I think Maryland's going to win the whole thing. We'll
Maryland
see how that ends up.
I am looking forward to that game, the Ohio State-Maryland game. But I will say, having watched and followed now lacrosse for a little bit, it's another great Denver activity for the University of Denver that people in the metro area can kind of say, hey, look, we got some
kind of rally behind.
Yeah, we got Final Four appearance. Sure. Last year they got knocked out early. Year before they won the tournament. So, you know, we're building. I mean, it's the expectation is to
right.
be, you know, competing for the championship. And that's what you want to do. So,
well, and here's the thing. At this time of year, we talk about we're starting to get into the dry time of season. The NHL is winding down. NBA is winding down. There's no football. There are things that as a sports fan, you're saying, what can I watch? I'm not a lacrosse guy. You know this. College lacrosse especially. I don't know about the professional leagues. I don't really care. College lacrosse is entertaining. If you are looking for something to watch, you will be entertained for a few hours. It's a fun sport. Whether DU's in it, I'll actually watch some college lacrosse.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Now, it's fast. The games are quarters.
Yep.
15 minutes.
And the clock rolls.
It's a running clock for the most part. And boy, there seems to be a sense of urgency from the minute you know they face off at the very beginning. So just encourage everybody out there, you know, season's over locally for DU now, but come next year, it's a great sport to get out there and watch. I'll do it. My kid plays lacrosse, so
pretty
he
good.
Loves it.
He's pretty good. I like him.
He got laid out the other day.
He did get laid out. I saw the bottom of his cleats, and we were at the top. We were on the top bleacher watching that. But no, he's scrappy, and he's working hard, and that's always a positive thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's the thing that I like about lacrosse, and this is just me. I like that some of these kids named like Dieter and like, you know where I'm going with this. Finally, some of these kids like, I don't know, Milton, and they finally catch a break in life. Like, like the trust fund that they were left wasn't enough. Winston finally gets to have some success in the field of athletics. So good for them. Yes. See, these are the kind of kids they've life has not treated them fair.
Right.
They've
right.
had to overcome some things. Finally in lacrosse, they can power through it. I like that aspect.
I mean, okay. All right. Point taken.
there's very much of a football aspect to it. There really is. There's a football feel to the game.
It's a contact sport.
Yep.
You get to carry around sticks and hit each other.
How can you complain about that? Anytime you have a stick and you can slug somebody with it, it's a good sport.
You know, like 50% of the time it gets called as a penalty.
Sure.
But no, it's...
But sometimes it doesn't.
But it's fast. It's always moving. You will not be bored.
No.
It's just a great program going down there. Well, I had read the other day that it's the fastest growing sport in high school.
Yeah, it's getting big. You know, it started on the East Coast more.
Oh, yeah.
But it's starting to migrate across, and we're starting to see more and more of it. Kids are starting to pick it up. When we were kids, that was never a thing.
Oh, like, geez.
Honest to God, I never even heard of lacrosse.
Right. And now they're saying that there's going to take like a Pac-12 conference to open up a lacrosse program.
To kind of get it going.
There just isn't enough in college right now for all the kids that are coming out of high school who've been playing the sport. So it's going to take a big conference to say, hey, we're just going to do it.
We're going to do it.
Field teams.
Roll out big time teams.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, you know. Because
maybe the Big 12 should do that, because God knows they're not doing anything else in any other sports. We know football's not working out so good for them right now. Maybe they ought to get into a little more involved in lacrosse.
Well, and you speak of it, like you can see a guy play lacrosse who's 5'6". And,
or
you can see some of the bigger guys.
And but skill it, but it's passing more of a speed and control.
Sport, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I knew lacrosse was coming.
Well, let's talk a little NHL.
Okay. We can talk a little NHL.
The same feel of lacrosse.
It does. You know,
there's sticks.
Sticks, a lot of white guys.
Fast.
And ice. Except the only difference is we put it on ice instead of grass.
I took Ottawa to win.
You did take Ottawa.
I took Ottawa. Now
we've got Pittsburgh and Nashville coming up in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
Should be a really, really interesting. You've got Pittsburgh with the tradition. These are guys that know how to win. These are guys that have titles. You've got Nashville, kind of the up-and-comer, a team that you know. Nashville people, like last week, just found out they had a team. Like, they had no idea. They're like, what? We're in the final? I didn't even know we had a team. They got uniforms and everything? So, hey, don't sleep on Nashville.
No,
that's a good team.
Yeah, Nashville's good. They're very good. They're younger.
Yeah, younger. And they've got some depth. They've got some physical players. I like what Nashville brings.
They've just ruined the teams that they've come up
against.
They
were an 8 seed.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
And they're waiting around, right? Or were waiting around for the winner of the Ottawa.
Yeah, they've just been sitting and waiting for the Pittsburgh-Ottawa series was highly entertaining. Game 7. If you didn't watch Game 7, you kind of missed.
Yeah.
I thought Pittsburgh dominated that game.
They did, and the game
before.
But
they just couldn't score, and if you can't score, it doesn't make any difference.
Right. It's one of those series where you kind of had the feeling, well, maybe the best team isn't going to win this. Now, they ended up winning, and I think they should have. They did dominate that game. The game before, they were a better team. I was actually happy to see them win in the end, even though I was kind of rooting for Ottawa because I picked them. But
here's my problem.
I think it's going to be a super series with
Nashville. I think it will be, too. I think it'll be highly entertaining. Here's my problem with cheering for the Penguins. And I don't mean this personally. I know we have some listeners in Pittsburgh. I know we have Pittsburgh Steelers fans. I struggle a little bit cheering for a Pittsburgh team because you've had plenty of success.
Yeah.
And you come flood our stadium anytime we play the Steelers. So I've had enough of you Steelers fans. I respect what you've done. I like what you guys have done. But, you know, I was okay with Ottawa. And I don't even know anything about Ottawa. If you get in, I don't have any beef with you.
Right.
I don't even know how many people live in Ottawa. I don't know anything about them. But I know what Pittsburgh does, and they've had a lot of success.
Yeah, they have. You know the old saying, they travel well, right?
They do.
Yeah, it's easy to travel well when you've moved from the state, too.
So, yeah, there is a reason that people are in this state and not still there, right?
It is, yeah. They'll even move from their house to a hotel just to make look like they traveled
well. Sure, we travel really, really well. Well, and anytime you have that generational thing, like as a kid, I don't remember ever seeing a Green Bay Packers fan. I know up in Green Bay. I know up in Wisconsin. There's a ton of Green Bay Packers fans. You never heard of a Green Bay Packers fan.
Right.
Like when Lynn Dickey was the quarterback, you weren't seeing a lot of Lynn Dickey jerseys here in Denver. And then Brett Favre wins a Super Bowl. All of a sudden, we've just got Packers stuff everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing. It's kind of the same thing with a lot of these teams that kind of go national.
Right.
But there's
and everything's national now, right? So
yes.
there's people from other, and I guess that's the beauty of it. You can do whatever you want. If you want to move from Wisconsin to Colorado, you can, and you bring your jersey with you.
Sure. Or if you live in Colorado and you don't know anything about the Patriots, but they've won Super Bowls, then you just go buy a Tom Brady jersey. Yeah, I'm an old-time Patriots fan. Yeah, sure you are. I bet you really loved those Tony East and Steve Grogan days, didn't you? Get out of here. You don't know anything about the Patriots, you bandwagoner. We also have those. I know they travel well, and they also bandwagon well. We do have some of that, too.
Where the last 15 years is the universe of what has happened.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know if I see a lot of Hugh Millen jerseys.
Listen, and on the contrary, you will see an Otis Armstrong jersey.
Yes, you will.
You will see a Floyd Little jersey. We will embrace our failure.
Sure we do. Right? We love it. You might still see a Craig Morton jersey. We still have some of those things. Absolutely. Yes, we know there were dry years in Denver Broncos history.
Dry years?
That's just...
Yeah.
And I know. I know there's bandwagon fans in other cities that are, hey, sure, I'm a big Peyton Manning fan, and I get all that.
Right.
But some of the traveling well is also the sum of the bandwagoning well.
Absolutely. If we could go back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And take what we know to be our history and replace it with the Steeler
tradition that they have.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Super Bowl history.
Yeah, ton of Super Bowls.
I guess you would. The answer is you probably would, because you want to win those Super Bowls.
Who doesn't?
But for us to be here where we are today as Bronco fans and the team now was built upon
years and years of horrible teams.
Of just struggle, wasn't
just
it?
Just losing teams. Yes, we have a foundation built in failure. It's perfect. No, but to go through those, hey, here's a perfect example. We got the Colorado Avalanche. They come in here, they win a Stanley Cup the first year. I don't bleed with those guys. I don't die with those guys.
Right, but it was fun winning the Stanley
Super
Cup.
Super fun. I was like, oh man, I'm a huge Avalanche fan. No, I'm not. I've got news for you. I'm a die easy Avalanche fan. They start sucking and I'm turning that TV off.
Can we remind just everybody about the only playoff game that Tim Tebow won?
Yeah, I do remember that. What team was that against? Is it the Jets? No, it wasn't the Jets.
I think they were wearing
Bengals?
Black.
Oh, that's right.
They were wearing some sort of shade
of black. Was it Raiders? No,
it
wasn't Raiders. Was it the San Francisco 49ers wearing those stupid black jerseys? There's a lot of teams doing that.
No, it was not. And who was maybe that against? Yellow.
Oh, that's right. I think it was Pittsburgh.
You're right.
Pittsburgh. I think it was Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh fans, we love you. We respect you. We know what you guys have done. You've torn it up. I'm still not rooting for you. You guys have enough titles. You got more titles than fingers, so I don't feel bad for you.
And might have another one.
Yeah, they very well could.
I do think Nashville is going to play strong.
I do, too. I expect that to be a dogfight.
I wouldn't put Nashville out of this. Pittsburgh does have the history. They're defending.
I don't know how much Sidney Crosby gets.
He was getting beat up.
How much credit does that guy get as just one of the all-time greats? So, like, you're watching some history when you're watching Sidney
He came in as, like, Golden Boy, right?
Yeah.
And he's a lot tougher.
Oh, he's so much tougher than he's ever gotten credit for.
He's a lot tougher than I think people give him
credit
for.
You look at him, he's the slick guy. He's the speed guy. Man, he's a tough guy.
He will take on two guys if he knows one of his teammates will get the puck.
I don't know if he gets enough credit for when you're watching him. You really are watching history right now because he's just phenomenal.
Yeah, and how about the guy, Malkin, who looks like the guy playing Jaws in the Bond movies?
I've noticed that a lot of, especially the enforcers.
That guy can skate.
Yeah, especially the enforcers in hockey. Some of these big physical defensemen, a lot of them do look like Bond villains. I don't know if it's the beard thing. I don't know what it is, but they do look like they should be scheming some sort of contraption that's going to kill Bond in 30 seconds. I don't know what that's about, but... it's kind of cool.
He's big, he's huge, and he can skate. There's
well, we talked about it a little bit. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week. As bad as the NBA playoffs have been, the NHL playoffs have been phenomenal. 26 overtime games, something like that. They've been so good.
Okay.
Nobody's watching them.
All right.
And so, I understand that, but it is entertaining.
It really is too bad, right? Because I've said this multiple times to people who care to listen. It's the perfect sport for the playoffs.
Yep.
Get rid of 40 games.
It's tight. It's close.
Get rid of 40 of the regular season games.
Yes.
But maybe have every team in the playoffs. Why not just have every team
and just
in the playoffs? And just play off. The fact that if you're down two goals with 5 or 2 minutes left.
It's not over.
And you can tie it up
and
take it to overtime and win. It's every team's dream because they don't have to dominate anything.
No.
to win the game.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
It is.
Now, you take a lot of risks. You pull your goalie. You know, you do what you got to do. But that's what makes it exciting because the team is never out of it.
No.
We know in the NFL playoffs when teams are out of it, they're just not coming back. We know in baseball that's typically the case, too.
In baseball, same kind of thing. Just right now they play 162 games. I'm saying we take away 161 of those games, and we just start in the playoffs.
Move to the playoffs.
Yes, and then it might be more interesting because the season is long.
That's why the NHL playoffs are beautiful, and I don't watch the regular season. I can't do it, but I watch the playoffs.
I do, too.
I love it.
No, it's highly entertaining. If the Avalanche, I'm die easy Avalanche fan. If the Avalanche are good, I'll watch a little regular season.
Bandwagon,
I might watch a big
bandwagon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm on that bandwagon, too. No, if they're good and it's like a rivalry game or when it was Red Wings or the Wild or one of those kind of rivalry, I might watch some of those, but it's just such a long season. But the playoffs are highly, highly entertaining. Nobody's watching it.
Hey, for me.
More people are watching 2020 on Saturday night than they are watching the NHL playoffs.
Office reruns.
Yes.
You're right. I am one of those people that are watching to the detriment of the NBA because I'm not watching the NBA.
You should be. You should be now. You should be now. I know. I tell you that. It's been horrible. I'm gonna preface this by saying it's been absolutely terrifyingly horrible. It's been painful to watch. We have the two best teams. We know they're the two best teams. It's not even close. So, now we finally get to see those two teams.
Right. But my point exactly, right?
Yes.
Was there any... Did anybody think that these two teams were not going to...
We all hoped. Okay. We all hoped somebody would stumble just so we'd have a story.
And conversely... Did anybody think the Predators were going to be in there?
No. Okay. Absolutely
not. So there's a little, and maybe people thought Pittsburgh, but at least there was times when maybe Pittsburgh wasn't going
to
be there.
NHL needs to straighten out that whole playoff seeding thing. When you have the best two teams playing in the second round of the whole league, that might not be that well thought out, but we'll put that aside.
That's true.
But yes, you're right.
For the NBA, the mystery is gone. And
we
I know
knew
a lot of people just want to see really good basketball played at the highest level. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But after... How many regular season games?
Oh, I know.
Is that what we're now looking for in these playoffs, which we knew were coming? I get it. I'll probably watch it. I typically do. I like to watch, you know, the best of the best.
I think it'll be entertaining. I hope it'll be entertaining. When you watch the NBA Finals, here is my encouragement to you. We've got Cleveland. We've got Golden State. They don't get started till Thursday. They're going to have plenty of time off. Now, here's one thing to watch. Whoever loses game one, they're going to blame it on rust. They're both going to have a ton of time off, so it's totally BS whoever says
that. That's a long time
off. It is a long time. But which would you rather have? Like, too much rest? Man, I don't know. I'm just real tired from all this rest. I know you're rusty. Yeah, but if they come out and they, like, if Golden State's had the longer break.
Right.
Golden State comes out and wins. No, that rest really helped them. If they lose, it's, oh, they're just rusty. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't.
It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. I'm rooting for the underdog.
You're rooting for Cleveland.
Sure. I was rooting for them last year.
Yeah.
And they won.
I don't care who wins. I really don't. I want a close series.
Well,
I want it to be seven games.
People ask, why are you rooting for Cleveland? And, you know.
Because LeBron James hasn't had anything go his way in his life.
Right.
Finally, he's catching a break. No, I got you. Here's the thing that I would encourage
you. I guess
that's
a problem. I mean, you make a good point. Like, I don't care either now. So
I turned you around on this whole NBA finals.
For a long time, I didn't care, and then I cared.
And now you don't again. You're right back to not caring. Here's the thing that I would encourage everyone on the NBA Finals to watch. Watch the defense. On both sides of the floor, watch the defense. How do the Warriors play all those Cavaliers ball screens? They're going to set ball screen after ball screen after ball screen. Now, against Boston, what Boston did was they just sagged off shooters. They sagged inside, and they let them shoot it. And they said, hey, if you shoot it and you make it, then you're going to kill us. And they killed them, and they buried them. I don't think
I'll take your word for it.
Right. Kevin Love lit him up. They sagged on Kevin Love. Kevin Love just tore him up. It's going to be interesting to see. I think the Warriors will switch everything and they'll just see if they can get through. Now, last year in that series, in the finals, what the Cavaliers did was they said, we're going to sag to paint. We're going to double down. We're going to bang Steph and Clay. Every time they come into the paint, we're going to bang on them. We're going to double down on Draymond Green. And we're just going to leave Harrison Barnes and Andre Iguodala open. And if you can beat us, beat us. Well, it's not those two anymore.
Right.
Now it's going to be Kevin Durant. So you can leave him open if you want to, but he's probably going to make a couple of baskets.
I know enough about him that he'll put a dagger in you. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do the Warriors have a coach?
Yes, they do.
And does he coach during games?
Well, Mike Brown is filling in And it's really interesting to watch them because I'm gonna tell
this
you
this is the same Mike Brown that was coaching the Cavaliers.
The Cavaliers, yes. Here's the caveat: Mike Brown is not the coach. Okay. Now, I don't know if anybody else is saying this, but I'm gonna say this right now: Mike Brown is not the coach of the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr is not the coach of the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green is the coach of the Golden State Warriors, and if there's any question, you watch the huddles. Draymond Green, the coach comes in and he kind of stands around with his hand on his hips. All right, are you done? Hey, here's what we're gonna do. Draymond Green just completely takes over. But he is a highly intelligent basketball player. I know he looks like Donkey from Shrek. He is a very, very smart guy, especially defensively. Draymond Green is the head coach of that team.
Now, that's good to hear, because the last I heard from Draymond Green, he was like getting ready to get kicked out
He still might. He may get kicked out of this whole finals.
Okay.
No, he's an emotional player. He plays high emotion. Yeah. That's just kind of how he rolls.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, he's an intelligent guy. He's not a moron.
Yeah.
But it's a little more talented, don't get me wrong. Yeah. He's a little Dennis Rodman-ish.
Yeah.
He is crazy, but he is crazy like a fox.
Well,
he is not stupid.
And he's got a role and he plays it. Yeah. It's funny, right, that a team cannot have their head coach on the sidelines during a game and be the favorites in the finals.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When
does that happen anywhere in any other sport?
I don't think so. I think
what would happen in baseball if there wasn't a manager there? Would guys like...
Is there a manager there?
Would the first baseman go to third base?
He'd just run the wrong way.
Yeah. Like,
you're supposed to be over here. You go the wrong way.
Like, what happens?
We go counterclockwise in this game. Yeah, I don't know.
Does the guy put his batting helmet on backwards?
Right. We did see Gary Kubiak miss a couple games.
Yes.
We saw him flopping and twitching, and I don't know what all went on there, but we did see that happen. I don't know. It's always interesting, and I was in that situation once as a coach.
Okay,
I was an assistant
coach. I'd like to hear about that,
and the head coach comes down really, really sick, and I've kind of got to fill in.
Yeah,
here's the thing to remember as the assistant coach: I don't care what seat you're sitting in, you're not the head coach, and everybody in the whole building knows it. And so it's not that I've changed anything we're doing.
Right.
Like, I'm even trying to talk like him. You know what I mean? You're trying to do everything the same. Everybody knows you're not the guy. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't work.
Right.
We still had production. We still got some things done.
Right.
But I was the assistant coach, and make no mistake, everybody knew he's just the assistant. It doesn't even matter if you listen to him. Like, what's he going to do? Cut you?
Well, it's just funny, though, right? Like, at that level, that
a
head coach who's supposed to be in charge of everything
is
absent, and yet they're still the favorites. Now, well, he might be back, right? And, you know.
See, I don't know. That's a scary situation. He's leaking got spinal fluid,
problems,
man.
Right? Yeah, so yeah, that's not good.
No, that's a bad thing.
And maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
But the thing. In that job, there is so much standing and so much wear and tear on your back.
Right.
Coaches, for years, have had issues with their backs.
Right.
And a back injury in that situation, he had a history, obviously, as a player and that kind of thing, with that whole spinal situation. Steve Kerr, I will say this, though. I do think he put that system in motion, and I think those guys are carrying the system. The cutting, the freewheeling, the unselfishness of that team. You look at that team. You got Durant, you got Draymond, you got Steph, you got Klay. That's a highly, highly unselfish team, and I don't know if they get nearly enough credit for the defense that they actually do play. I know they don't look like a defensive team. They lead the league in a lot of defensive stats.
Yeah.
They're a lot better. I think Kerr put some really, really good things in motion. Now he's out. He's still around that team.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what they do. On that same point, what would it mean to Mike Brown to go back and beat that team that fired him?
Right.
I mean, he's got a dog in this race, doesn't he?
He does. Absolutely. Now, the players aren't going to listen to him. You know,
not much.
This is how you beat LeBron.
He's all about defense, though. I think he talks to him at the defensive end. I think he says, hey, let's adjust this. Let's work screens this way. Let's hedge and, you know, cover things this way. And then, honest to God, I think Draymond Green goes in there and says, okay,
let's do that.
Here's what we're really going to do.
Well, and, you know, I think to bring it back home,
the
Nuggets beat Golden State this year.
Right.
Yeah. And
they're not unbeatable.
There's a couple good promising guys on that team.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching them next year.
They'll be entertaining.
I won't go to a game, but I'll watch them on TV.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be better than they were last year.
They're starting to
ramp up, right?
They finally got some people in the front office, I think, that know what they're doing. They finally got some players in here. For years, we've had the guys like Kenneth Faried.
Right.
And I'm not dogging on Kenneth Faried, but he is a sixth man type of player. He's been the big dog here. That's
right.
The kind of players that we've had. A guy that should be a sixth man with maybe a Golden State.
Right.
He is the best player in the franchise for us.
Right.
Finally, you're starting to see the Jokic, the Gary Harris, some of these guys, they got some talent coming.
When you saw Jokic go at LeBron.
Yeah. No, he's a talent.
That's the lasting memory from the Nuggets season for me. And
absolutely.
I know there was a lot of basketball played, but I actually watched that game and saw that.
They're getting better.
Thought, you know, that's what you need.
Yeah, right? They're getting more fun to watch.
That's what you want.
For sure. So. This is a snake bit franchise. We have talked about that.
For sure.
And it's never going to win a championship, and we can all pretend all we want. But they're getting better. They're getting more entertaining, for sure.
Absolutely. What else, Clint?
I've got one more thing I do want to talk about. We're looking forward to the NBA Finals. We're looking forward to the NHL Final. Is it singular? I think in the NHL it's singular. I don't know. Stanley Cup Final, and I think NBA Finals.
Okay.
No, I'm not positive that right. Here's one thing I do want to throw out there briefly. The NFL Rules Committee has announced a couple of changes in rules. They are going to shorten overtime from 15 minutes to 10 minutes because of player safety.
Right.
Because they're super concerned about player safety.
Right.
Why don't you just have 0 minutes if you're that concerned? Like, hey, we're just, at the end of the game, it's just over. We're so concerned about player safety.
Here's the deal. The NFL is going to be struggling with that whole thing.
Yes.
Forever.
Right.
There's no,
you can't
legislate, there's no right answer.
A dangerous game.
We've already talked about this. It's not like basketball. It's not like hockey.
It is
it's
a collision like sport.
There are 16 games in the season.
Yeah.
More when you put the preseason games in that nobody
that
plays
horrible,
because they don't want to get people injured.
Yes.
And if you play the playoffs and the Super Bowl, then there's more games. But there's 16 games in the season, and every single one of those games matters.
Right.
And anybody can get hurt in any one of those games.
OTAs. You can get hurt anytime. Like, these guys get hurt, just the nature of the sport.
Absolutely. So play the game to a conclusion.
You're NFL commissioner for a day. You have all the power. What do you do with NFL overtime?
Put me on the spot, man.
I totally put you on the spot.
I play right now. I wouldn't change. Right now, I would change it. I would play 15 minutes, and at the end of the 15 minutes, that's the result. And if it's a tie, it's a tie.
Do you keep the, if you kick a field goal on the first possession, you get a chance to come back?
No, I'd play 15 minutes.
15 minutes, no matter what.
Yeah.
You were just playing 15 minutes.
Correct.
I've got two suggestions for the NFL. Here are my suggestions, and you can do with these whatever you'd like. Here are my suggestions for the NFL overtime. Option number one, if you kick a field goal on the first possession, the other team gets a possession, but they have to score a touchdown or the game ends. You can't go down and kick a field goal and we just extend
tie.
The thing.
Okay.
Hey, go do one better or get out of here.
Right.
Or we go to the college format. Each team starts at the opposing team's 30-yard line and we play it off.
Right.
Here's the draw on that. We all know this is betting. We all know this is fantasy football. Can you imagine the fantasy football stats when Tom Brady goes to a seventh overtime? I just crushed you, man. My team went to overtime. We're tearing you up on this. And for that and that alone, I think the college rules would be awesome.
They would be.
From that standpoint.
But they'll never, ever, ever do that, right? No. There's too much playing in there.
Now, here's the other rule that came in.
Okay.
We have to touch on this briefly.
All right.
We're going to have to get out of here.
Okay.
But we have to touch on this briefly.
All right.
The NFL has approved, I can't quite figure out, some celebrations.
Yeah,
you can now use the football as a prop, but you can't touch the goalpost, and you can't do anything. I think it's still two pumps, not three pumps sexually. I don't know.
It's a disaster.
It's a fine line.
This is not... I used to say, you know, when they say it was a no-fun league, I was kind of like, well, what do you mean? You know, come on. These guys are like out of control.
Yeah.
Let's stop making rules. If they want to celebrate, let them celebrate. But here's what I would say.
Okay.
Is there's a clock. There's going to be something happening in 30 seconds. Like you're
right,
kicking off. Whatever.
The play clock is running
but it
extra
starts.
Point. Yes.
But it starts. Let the coaches handle it. Because if the guy's still in the end zone signing autographs on the football and there's a 15-yard
penalty on the kickoff, it's going to get your attention,
Or the extra point, which is already pushed back.
Yes.
Then the coaches will take care of it.
So expiration on the play clock.
Yeah.
What if you also did this? What if instead of maybe, you know, Von Miller scores a touchdown on defense and he does three pumps as opposed to two. And we know that 2.5 is the over-under on that.
Yeah.
Here is my suggestion.
Okay.
Let's stop making these refs worry about it.
Right.
And they just get a fine from the league that week. And the ref just goes, hey, that's your problem. As long as you don't violate the play clock, I'm okay with that. But I'm not making this call.
Right.
I've got enough to worry about trying to see if that fat guy's holding that other fat guy. I don't need to be having an additional thing
totally
on my plate.
I agree with you. I love it.
Send that to the
maybe
NFL office.
A combination of mine and yours there because.
No, I think that's what it is. I think it is the combination of that.
Yeah.
If it violates the play clock, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's out of the ref's hands. That's the only thing the ref has to watch.
You
he doesn't have to.
You make the refs do so much these days.
We're like, asking way too much. And most of them are 70-year-old men. It's all they can do to get up and down the doggone field. What are we asking these guys to do?
They breathe heavy, get into the replay booth.
See, I don't like that. I don't like that. We're asking a lot, and we want every single call perfect. That sounds great, but sometimes it's not perfect.
It's not going to be. It never is. I like the spontaneous action in football. I think that's what everybody does like. Somehow, we got to get back to that without creating more for the refs to worry about every second.
Absolutely. Hey, we've got a Daily Dose Top 5 we've got to get to. We're going to get to that. Hey, just a quick reminder. Make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/Daily Dose. Do any shopping that you might need to do. Maybe you need to get something. Father's Day's coming up. Maybe you want to get something for whoever you think your father might be. Loot Crate delivers the best in merchandise and collectibles. They feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go get a crate. You can get a subscription to crates. You can even just get individual items. The newest crate out this month is called Alter Ego. There are two sides to everyone, the side we see and the alter ego that remains hidden. And it contains all sorts of items. This month features Spider-Man, Marvel Comics, Transformers, and DC Comics. Explore the secret nature of some pop culture favorite heroes. You know, they've got shirts, they've got hoodies, they've got comic books, figurines, hats. You can even get stuff for your pets, and you can always go back and order past crates. Best part about ordering from Loot Crate, you place your order. Just put Daily Dose in the coupon box. We'll get you 10% off your order. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. And we just talked a little bit with Larry here about the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals and what we can expect this year in the NBA finals. We've got Warriors. We've got Cavaliers. This could be a really, really high-watched NBA finals. This is what we've all been waiting for, right?
Right.
Everybody's been waiting. Hey, we know it's going to be Cavs and Warriors. We are going to count down right now the top five highest-rated NBA finals average. Now, I'm not talking about a single game. I'm talking about from the first game to the end, what averaged highest in Nielsen ratings. And the Nielsen ratings basically say, if you had your TV on, this is how many people were watching these games. Highest rated NBA Finals average of all time. Number five on our list. You might remember this one. I'm going to forewarn everybody. It's going to be a Michael Jordan intensive top five this week. Because everybody watched MJ. But the first one is the only one that maybe doesn't feature Mike in this. The 1987 Los Angeles Lakers versus the Boston Celtics pulled a 15.9 share. The Lakers and Celtics have met in the finals 12 different times.
Man.
It's absolutely incredible how many times those two teams have met. This was actually the 10th meeting. And the final meeting between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, they were the top two teams in the league in 87. LA was 65-17. Boston was 59-23. They came together. And you might remember probably the most memorable play in this game was when Magic Johnson had that little junior skyhook in, I think it was game four. He was named finals MVP. The Lakers won that series in six. Of all the TVs in the nation, 16% of them were watching the Lakers versus Celtics in 1987. Pretty amazing. Number four on our list, the 96 Chicago Bulls versus the Seattle Supersonics. Wow. Yeah, they pulled a 16.7 share. The Bulls had gone 72-10, completely dominated the league. But, you know, Seattle, that wasn't a bad team.
Sean Kemp.
Gary Payton was the Defensive Player of the Year.
McMillan.
You had Detlef Schrempf. You had Nate McMillan. That was a pretty talented team. The problem was that Michael Jordan was also pretty good. He was named the finals MVP for the fourth time in his career, and the Bulls won in six. Number three, I told you it's going to be MJ heavy. Number three was the 1997 Chicago Bulls versus the Utah Jazz. They pulled a 16.8 share. You probably remember this series for the Jordan flu game. Michael Jordan played 44 minutes. He had 38 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and a block in a game. Then I'm going to be honest, when you go back and look at the clips, he kind of looks green. Like he was throwing up before the game. He had to get IVs before, at halftime, and after the game. You remember him kind of falling on Scottie Pippen? I know there's people that say maybe he was playing it up for the cameras. I'm just looking at his skin tone. He looks green. That's all I can go off of, right? I don't know. He found a way to pick up his fifth finals MVP, and the Bulls won in six again. Number two on our list, 1993, Chicago Bulls versus the Phoenix Suns, pulled 17.9%. The Suns had a really talented team back in 93. Kevin Johnson, Danny Ainge, Dan Majerle, Charles Barkley. They finished the season with the best record in the league. They went 62-20. And of course, Charles Barkley was named the league MVP. But they lost the first two games at home. So you're sitting there and you're thinking, hey, this might be a sweep. Chicago's going to roll. And then they won the next two games on the road. All of a sudden, they're right back in it. But then the Bulls went on a tear. They won in Phoenix. They closed them out in game six. Jordan won the MVP. He averaged 41 points a game in that series. That is number two on our list. And our number one final series, most watched ever. 18.7% of all TVs were tuned in to the 1998 Chicago Bulls versus Utah Jazz. It was a rematch of the previous season. Top two teams. They were actually tied with a 62-20 record, but Utah had swept the home court advantage because they had beaten Chicago twice during the season. The Bulls were just loaded, but they were also loaded with expiring contracts. You'll remember Phil Jackson was leaving.
Right.
MJ was leaving, or at least his contract was running out. Pippen's contract running out. Dennis Rodman's contract running out. All these guys, it just felt like this is the last ride for this group, and it was. The Jazz won game one, but then Chicago rolled off three straight. Scottie Pippen had a bad back, and I don't know if people remember that. I know we always kind of throw, Scottie Pippen was great, and he was. He was a phenomenal player. He had a bad back in this series. He didn't even contribute that much. But Ron Harper, Steve Kerr, Tony Kukoc, they all stepped up the big plays. And, of course, Jordan hit the game-winning shot in Game 6, won his sixth Finals MVP. Game 6 of that series, most watched game in NBA history, had nearly 36 million viewers. And I know we're not getting into soccer NFL territory, but just by comparison, last year's Game 7 between the Cavaliers and the Warriors only drew 31 million and had a 15.8 share. That 98 finals between the Bulls and the Jazz, most watched ever. This is the matchup this year everybody's been waiting for. We might be seeing some history.
Yeah.
With Cleveland and Golden State.
Yeah.
We should be. These are the two best teams. Everyone knew it was the two best teams. We've been waiting for this matchup. Could we see maybe this series move into our top five here? Honestly, like I said, I'm just hoping for an entertaining series. I'm just hoping it's a good series.
And it will be. The fact that it's a repeat of teams adds to the excitement and, and I think the familiarity. And right, isn't that what we've kind of been missing with the whole Celtics and Lakers series where they just kind of battled? This is that. We've
got
two teams that have gone against each other last year. Here's the second time they're going to do it. It should be fun.
There is something to be said for some of these dynasties in sports where you're either cheering for them or you're cheering against them. And I think we are going to have a lot of that in this series. You got a pick in this series? What's your pick?
My pick is Cleveland.
You're going to go Cleveland. How many games?
I'm going to go seven games.
Seven
taking
games.
Taking it to the end.
Okay. I'm going to go Warriors. I'm going to go Warriors in six. Cleveland better learn how to defend. They haven't been defending well. Hey, if you want to recommend the podcast, and we would appreciate that so much, please let your friends, family, coworkers, whoever it is, let them know they can subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts are hosted. Of course, they can go to iTunes, and you can always go to a place like blogtalkradio.com because they've got every single episode over there. Let's say you want to share the podcast, Larry.
Yeah.
You want to give it some?
I do.
But let's be honest. You don't want to go talk to that guy at work. Because the guy, then you're going to have to talk about his wife and his stupid, ugly kids. You don't care about his stupid kids. But you want to kind of give him the, you might like the podcast.
Right.
Here's what you do. Wherever you listen to the podcast, just click that share button, and then you can either text or email it to him. You never have to talk to him.
Nice.
I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. Of course, you can go to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. There are new articles that go up every single week. Also, make sure you stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. The Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, and they've got a number of other podcasts over there you're going to like, you're going to get addicted to. Go check out a few of the new shows that are going up over at rogueintel.com. Always feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us at Facebook or on Twitter. Larry, I have to say thank you so much coming on the show. We talked about a number of different subjects, had no idea where any of this is going. But it was a lot of fun.
We
had a good time. A
lot of fun. And we'll do it again.
Definitely.
Thanks for having me. We didn't get to half of the stuff that I had on my list.
You had more on your list?
always time for that.
Well,
but thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
You know,
pleasure
you're
to
always
be up
welcome.
Here, and what a great place to do the show, and always fun.
Absolutely. Always fun to have you on The Daily Dose. We always enjoy having you stop by. We'll have to do it again sometime soon. Have to say thank you to everyone out there for listening. We genuinely do appreciate you listening each and every week. It really does mean a lot that you come in, you find the Daily Dose, you listen. I hear from you. I hear from emails or Twitter or whatever it might be. The fact that you guys reach out, it really does mean a lot. We appreciate it so much. We're going to try to keep doing this bigger and better all the time. Thank you, Larry, for stopping by. Thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.
Go DM.